saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection. Hi, you are welcome to this week's episode of the Daily Faith Boost. I believe you're going to have an amazing time. I trust that your weekend was exceptional. It was good. It was great. It was glorious. Welcome. Come on. Welcome. Welcome to this exceptional, exceptional week. I trust it holds great things for you. Wonderful and marvelous. Super like glorious things for you. Beautiful song there by Elevation Worship titled My Testimony. And yes, I picked the song particularly because of the direction we're moving in this week. Remember how we ended last week? Okay, we kept talking about the reset. The reset. There is a reset, okay? And through Adam, sin came, death came, God hit the reset button and gave us a precious gift. So I trust that this week's focus, all right, it will be very helpful. It will be like super, like really like super helpful. So we're looking into this whole matter a lot more. It will build faith. It will bring healing. It will strengthen us in every single way. It will energize us, all right, and help us to walk in all that God has made available to us. Glory, glory, glory. I mean, a whole week, all right? We could do more, but hey, 1 week is fantastic. It's praise God. So looking at, what do we call it now? Death to life. Praise God. Praise God. You are welcome. So we'll go straight to Genesis and the first chapter of the book of Genesis. Please understand that we're just taking that moment to look into this super salient matter, super like, super serious, you know, topic in the Bible that would build your faith superbly. All right. Like, seriously, praise God. So I'll be taking most of my reading from the New King James, all right? Now, Genesis chapter 1 from the 26th verse, just going straight into it. Well, yeah. Okay, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved or was hovering on the face of the water. Please understand what's happening here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. All right. The earth was without form and void. Darkness upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters or hovering. All right. Was hovering, like NKJV I'm reading says. Right. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. So we see how, you know, God begins to say. So we get to the 26th verse. And Bible says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them, all right, man, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female, he created them. 28, then God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over everything that lives, all right, every living thing that moves upon the earth. So we see here God bringing man into the picture, God giving man dominion, man having authority. I particularly like the word in 28, then God blessed them. So I particularly like the word blessed. So we see, of course, from the beginning, God is creating a very habitable place for this dear, all right, creation of his, all right? Man is not brought forth yet, but God is rearranging, creating, separating land from water, firmament from farm. I mean, God is setting things in place to bring man in. Suddenly brings a man in and he blesses him. So man is brought into a blessing. Man is brought into increase. Man is brought, guys, into the best thing he could ever imagine, if he even had any imagination before this time. The second chapter now, and the seventh verse. Then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. All right, so God formed him. All right, and hey, man shows up, voila. Verse 8, then God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and then he put the man whom he had formed, and out of the ground the Lord God made every tree to grow as pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So we see God talking clearly here about two straight trees. So verse 15, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day you shall eat of it, you shall surely die. Like, die. All right? You surely die. So we notice there were two trees. God particularly talks about one. After, you know, the two trees are mentioned, he mentions one, silent about the other. He says, the day you eat of the tree, you will surely die. So one is the knowledge of good and evil that will bring death. The other is a tree of life. We get to chapter 3 quickly. And then we see, you know, the serpent beguiling the woman, I mean, deceiving her. And of course, Adam, you know, followed after. Straight up, something goes on. God had said, the day you eat of this, you will die. Now, I'm sure, you know, oh dear Lord. Let me read that part. Verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that was pleasant to the eyes, a tree that desires to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and also gave to her husband that was with her, and he did eat. All right, so the woman ate, husband ate. Now, the next verse you would have expected to read, and they died. All right, but their eyes were blinking, their nostrils were breathing. Something might have been amiss, but no. When God said they will surely die, he meant it. All right, and things from that day died. All right, things died, everything died. All right, and it began to appear afterwards that, hey, death has been unleashed. Scrolling down, just trying to give a background. I'm sure you, like, okay, he's trying. I'm sure you know that's what I'm doing. Anyway, so I go straight to 16. To the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you will bring forth children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. So we see here, so something begins to get strange. Of course, at this point, she hadn't even given birth. But God is already saying, hey, your conception is going to be difficult. You will bring forth children with pain. Your desire will be to your husband, and then he would rule over you. Then to Adam, God turns and says, hey, because you had to heed, or you heeded, right? You have heeded, in KJV, the voice of your wife, and I've eaten of the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. All right, in toil you will eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it will bring forth for you, and you shall eat herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you have come, and out of it you shall return. I mean, something is wrong here. God is saying, I mean, yes, I understand the language for Eve. He says, I will multiply your sorrow. Don't forget chapter 1, God blessed them. God blessed them. And God said in chapter 2, when you eat this, if you eat this, you will die. So there is a death. And I want you, you know, you would see this when we get, you know, further. I know if you were with us last week, you would have gotten this point, but we need to lay this foundation. So skip down a little bit again, and then we get to what now? 21. Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. So if God is so mad, and then God is so angry, Why is he clothing them? All right. So there is a show of love. There's a show of mercy and a show of kindness going on here. It is believed, of course, by many Bible scholars that this cloth of skin, this tunic of skin here, wasn't just God saying, skin, appear. It was God picking from the animal and offering blood. Now, it is believed, not clear, like obviously stated here, but that skin wasn't created. God had stopped creating, you know, and then, but basically, guys, God is showing love. God is clothing them. God is putting upon a covering, which also points to the fact that man's sin would be covered, but eventually blotted out. Are you getting this? God is covering, clothing them, showing love. Now, 22, then the Lord God said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And now let it put forth his hand to take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the garden to till the ground which he was taken, you know, to till the ground from which he was taken. So God drove the man out of the garden and placed cherubim at the east of the gate of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. So man was born, allow me to use the word, all right, but created. Man was blessed. I need to stay with the word. Man was born, created, please understand me. Man was blessed. Man was given an instruction which man defiled, disobeyed, and then God brought about, if we just want to say carelessly now, a punishment or a judgment. But I want to show you something clearer than this. We'll go to quickly Romans and the fifth chapter of the book of Romans. Romans 5 verse 12. If you were with us again last week, you would have heard this verse mentioned. Romans chapter 5 and the 12th verse says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus that spread upon all men because all have sinned. It didn't say so through God's anger, all right? Death came. No. So the dying now is Adam opening the door. So basically, sin could stand at the door saying, I'm knocking, 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 until Adam disobeyed God. Sin would never have entered. Man would never have known what sin is. But through one man's offense, all right, Bible tells us, sin entered the world and death entered through sin. So death spread upon all men because all sin. That means when God told Adam, the day you eat of this, you will surely die, God was telling Adam, something's going to go wrong and really wrong. And guys, you got to get this. The moment Adam died, Adam was not the only one that died. Remember again, Genesis 1, all right? God told man, be fruitful when he blessed him. Be fruitful, multiply, refill, fill the earth, replenish the earth. So God could have, all right, said the way he created everything, all right, let there be trees and let there be animals. God could have said, let there be men. But God didn't do that. God just said, let there be man. So male, female created he them, but how many appeared? We now come to chapter 2. He gives us how the flow was. Adam shows up first, and then Eve shows up from him. And from there, of course, we have Cain, Abel, Seth, generations keep flowing up. Guys, you've got to get something. God did not just breathe and then men multiplied upon the earth. God gave Adam a particular privilege, and that was a privilege to reproduce for God. Do you understand that? So Adam was a prototype. It was a first of man. It was Adam, the beginning, first, the prototype, all right? The first one. So God brings him up and says, you reproduce the others. Begin the circle. They will all belong to me. Please get this. But you are the one that would bring them forth. God did not say, let men appear. God did not mold, you know, like 5 million, all right, men, and then breathe, just send his spirit. He could have done that, don't you think so? But he didn't. Adam had a privilege, and whatever affected Adam automatically affected everybody else. So Romans 5:12 again says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, it says, and so thus, that spread to all men because all have sinned. This is serious. And I'm going to double this information revelation for us in the 15th chapter of the book of Corinthians, right? 1 Corinthians 15, and then the 21st verse. It clearly says, for since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Clear. I would spend time on the B part later, but we need to still read the verse. All right. Once again, it says, for since by man came death, not by God, not by the devil, right? In case you're like, oh, is that in the Bible? Yes, please. 1 Corinthians 15, 21. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. Now, verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. So the B part again of 22, we will discuss later. I just want you to see the A part. So maybe I read the A part of 21, A part of 22. For since by man came death, A of 21. Now A of 22, for as in Adam all die. So this tallies very much with what you just read in Romans chapter 5. And verse 12, through one man, sin entered the world. Death came through sin. Death spread upon all men. Everybody died. Now, this death here, like you noticed in Genesis, Adam and Eve disobeyed God and their eyes were still blinking. I mean, oh, they're like, this thing is good for food. And then let's eat. Oh, you've eaten. Oh, pass it on to me. Oh, I'm eating. Right. Of course, there's an argument over, was Adam close by? Was Adam far away? Adam ate, Eve ate. Adam ate, and the Bible says she gave it to her husband that was with her beside, with her in the garden, with her. These guys eat this thing of disobeying. In New Testament is silent, if you notice, on anything about a fruit. The language there was disobedience. All right. But you notice they were living. I mean, God could still speak to them. They could still give birth. So someone goes, God said they would die. They didn't die. They did die. All right. Haven't you noticed in John chapter 10, verse 10, all right, Bible says the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Okay, so how do you give life to people that are alive? The same way, how can you say he's dead if someone is still standing? Did you get that? I'll say it again. How could you give life? Jesus said, I've come that you may have life. All right. But he was talking to people that were alive. So he wasn't talking about being physically alive. He was talking about a divine substance, something bigger than just physically living and breathing and walking. Do you get that? So if the life Jesus came to give, all right, is something you could receive and you are physically alive, it means you could be in that physical state of being alive and be dead. I know some of you get where I'm going. I just need to break this down, make it simple, just in case someone is listening who's new at this, all right? Please understand this. There is physical death, and then there's spiritual death. So what we know as death is physical, but the first type of death is spiritual. So someone could be physically alive, but spiritually dead. So when God said to Adam, if you disobey, if you eat this fruit, you will surely die. God was telling Adam, spiritual death will reign. You will die spiritually. You'll be disconnected from me, your life source. You will be cut off from me. I am your life source. All right? It will now start that spiritual death. Please get this. Would now take effect on all other things. Guys, this thing affected the earth. Remember in Romans chapter 8, Bible saying that the whole creation is waiting, groaning. Waiting for the manifestation of God. Why are they groaning? Because they've been subjected in vanity. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me just read it for the purpose of someone like wondering, oh, sorry, what's that again? I thought it was just one verse with scream and shout, you know, about and all that. Well, all right. verse 19 of Romans chapter 8. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So this bondage of corruption, all right, is the evil that came upon the earth. So the whole earth itself wants to get out of this whole bondage, this whole, you know, things could erupt, you know, land could, earth, the earth plate could shift, you know, anything could go wrong at any time. No, Christian says it's not fun. This wasn't how we were created in the beginning. Please remember, in the beginning, God blessed. So God couldn't bless and suddenly bring a curse. No, God told Adam, if you do this thing, you would open a door. There would be death. This death, therefore, is spiritual, which now takes its toll on the physical. We've been too aware of the physical, but must first remind ourselves it's spiritual. Have you ever taken a closer look at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1? Now, Ephesians 2:1 says, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. So once again, he's writing to people that are alive. And he's saying he made you alive who were dead. So you could be physically alive, but spiritually dead. Are you getting that? And then in your state of being spiritually dead, though physically alive, once you receive the life of Christ, all right, once you confess Jesus as your Lord, you become alive, spiritually alive. Watch this now. This is why we're learning what we're learning this week. If spiritual death can take its toll on everything concerning us, that means receiving this eternal life can also and should take its toll on all the things that concern us. Oh, I think that's beautiful already. That's beautiful already. All right. If spiritual death would take its toll on everything that affects us and belongs to us or pertains to us, spiritual life also will take or should take its toll on every single thing that belongs to us. All right. You might be familiar with the next place I want us to look into, and that's Deuteronomy, right? The 30th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy and the 15th. And also the 19th verse, all right? So 19th and 15th and 19th verses. Deuteronomy 30. See, verse 15, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. I want you to take note of this. See, I have set before you today life and good, death and evil. So suddenly there are choices. There's a path. One is life. The other is death. But this didn't begin because Moses was talking to these people. This was from the beginning in Adam. This was what God was saying to Adam. Guy, I have blessed you. All right? I have blessed you. But I want you to know, do not touch the tree. When you do, you just choose another path. Someone says, then why in the world did God put that tree in the garden? I'm sure you might have asked that, whether as a kid or as an adult. That question is like super, super like old, all right? But the thing you need to understand is this. Once again, I said that the tree, all right, is in reference in the New Testament. So there is the argument over was it really a tree or was it a figurative thing? What we see in the New Testament was that there was disobedience. What we see in the New Testament was that there was unbelief. The great sin of the Old Testament usually is unbelief. Obviously, therefore, God had communicated something to Adam, which he disobeyed. God had communicated something to Adam, which he did not act upon totally. Because it's amazing. All right. It's super amazing. You almost wonder, why on earth did God put a tree there? What was God doing? What was God looking for? What was God trying to accomplish? But I want you to see something that Paul said to Timothy, and it's quite some food for thought. Please get this, all right? Please get this. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. It says, for Adam was first formed and then Eve, all right? Adam was first formed and then Eve. Verse 15 now says, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Okay, so you almost want to know what's going on. How come Adam wasn't deceived? Now, you could interpret that first and say, well, it was a woman who conversed with the devil or Satan, the serpent, and then she was deceived and then she brought her deception to the man. But secondly is the fact that he might have had a clear picture of what was going on. Don't forget, he was the one God spoke to. She was the one who got the information from him because, I mean, she had to tell the enemy, Well, he said, God said we should not just not eat. God even said we shouldn't touch. We don't find that in what God said to Adam, all right? Adam was basically to tend and keep the garden, so he might have had to go around every tree possibly there. So Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. Now, the man was deceived. The man should be in transgression. That's what I was supposed to say. Forgive me. All right. But Bible says, woman being deceived was in transgression. So there was a deception to the woman. Adam seemed to have been aware what was going on. So this likely might have nothing to do with a tree. A deception, an instruction God gave him, and him faltering on it. But this one clear thing is this, guys. God was intending to provide for himself children through Adam. There's a word you find in the New Testament, and that's the word adoption. So through Christ, we're adopted to God. Obviously, that was something God communicated to Adam. You reproduce for me, they become my children. They are my children. I could have yours, but I'm giving you the privilege to have this with me. So how did we get here? Me trying to explain death and life, okay? Death and life. Moses is saying, I place before you life and death. We didn't have to have this choice, but now we have to have this choice. See, I place before you today life and death, good and evil. I want you to see that. But the way he puts it, it says life and good, death and evil. Then we come to the 19th verse. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants may live. Let's quickly draw a quick table from what we have here. Life, good, blessing, one side of the chart. All right. Death, evil, and cursing, next side of the chart. Paint that picture. Life, good, blessing, death, evil, cursing. So if I choose life, I choose life and good, I choose life and blessing. If I choose death, I choose death and evil. I choose death and cursing. So whoever has life has good. Whoever has life has the blessing. Whoever has death has evil. Whoever has death has the curse. So now that you are born again, I need to tie this up. So we got to end on a great good news, great note. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So if you have everlasting life, you mean now you have everlasting good. It also means you have everlasting blessing. Please get this. Life, good, blessing, death, evil, curse. And the list is endless. If you want to try to see what is under evil, premature deaths and accidents and sicknesses, and these things are evil. These things are the curse. So if you are in Christ Jesus, he said, I have come that you may have life. What did he come to give you? Good. What did he come to give you? Blessing. So if you have received that life of Christ, if you've confessed Jesus as your Lord, all right, guys, it means you have eternal life, eternal good, eternal blessing. So can you please take a look around you and begin to tell yourself, I have passed from this death into life. What I have now is life, not evil, not curse. So my life is not moving forward. That's why we're running this series. We will deal with it. We will walk by faith. We will increase, all right, our levels of understanding, and just, hey, your faith will be super pumped. John 5:24 says, whoever hears my word and believes in him that sent me has everlasting life, will not come into condemnation, but has passed from death to life. Has passed from death to life, meaning you and I are passed now from death, from evil, from the curse. We have passed into life. We have passed into, all right, good. We have passed into the blessing. I have passed into life. I have passed into good. I have passed into the blessing. You have passed into life. You have passed into good. You have passed into the blessing. Yes, you have. All right. Chew on this. Chew on this. Life and death. Blessing and cursing. Good and evil. Now, because you're in Christ, you have life. You have the attendant things that follow. Chew on this. Share with a friend. All right. And then I will see you tomorrow. Blessings and bye.
I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover.